Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio. This is John Baker here with Stone Payton, my co-host, and Alan is working the board. How are you doing, Alan?
I'm doing good, thank you.
You staying warm these days?
I'm staying warm. Yesterday I went to the gym for the first time in months.
And really?
Now I'm a little sore.
How'd that feel? You feel alive now?
I'm happy, for one thing, because I paid a lot of money for the membership, and I finally used it.
Did you do that in January? You paid that in January, and now you're just getting around to it?
Last year, in January, I bought that membership.
Well, I noticed he had his shirt tucked in this morning. You know, I thought something's different, man.
He's fit.
Yeah,
looking spry.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. How about you, Stone? Did you join him at the barbells? And the?
I did not. Now, I pay the fat tax every month at the Y, very close to my house, and I went like the second week of January through about mid-February, and I went and got the body fat thing and the coach with a clipboard and the whole bit, and I hadn't darkened their door since.
Hadn't been there back. So it's your New Year's resolution to continue doing what you've been doing for the last, 32?
Just on the other side of 32.
Just on the other side.
Yeah, that's my plan, man.
Yeah. I started doing, my wife, who is, bless her heart, she is a fitness fanatic in phases. Like, she'll train for a half marathon, and she'll just blow it out. And then she'll train for this crazy Reganau race that she ran earlier this summer. And then she'll do all these things. And about midway into this, she goes, honey, I think we should do some working out together. And I'm like, okay, well, great. What do you got in mind? And she says, I want to do this videotape thing that I heard about called Insanity. And I'm like, I don't like that name. Straight out of the gates, I think that's a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
It was extremely painful. literally, sweating like you can't even imagine. Now, it'll get you in shape real quick. You know, and they've got the 25-year-olds like, we got someone here. Oh, what are you, 36? Well, she's an old-timer. Your kid's 19 years old, and they're like, how am I supposed to keep up with these people? So it's all right, Alan. We all struggle with that.
I'm going to look up Insanity. Maybe I need some.
Oh, hey, do it. And you know what? But look, if you have a cardiac arrest, do not blame me, okay?
Oh, no,
you don't come back, and that I got enough compliance.
That's covered in the disclosure, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
We already covered that.
I'm old. I wear a heart monitor.
That's right. Stone, how about you, man? How you been?
I've been great, man. And the answer to your question is no, I'm not staying warm. I put my wife and my daughter on a plane the other day to London. They don't get back for a few days yet, but as a result, I'm the one that gets the list, you know, schedule the carpet cleaning, print out the invitations, do the shopping. And so I got a lot of ho-ho-hoing to do after the show. So.
Yep. Well, happy holidays.
Thanks,
right?
Man.
And
you too.
Hopefully by the time they get back, you'll have everything squared away.
Yeah.
And if not, you'll be the one out in the doghouse. They get the vacation and you get to go to work, right?
It always works out that way.
Well, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Well, let's get on with the show here today. Biz Rocket Radio is a show that's dedicated to working with executives and business owners and sharing ideas and experiences that people have had in the business world here in the Atlanta area and sharing that on the radio and getting insights from those successful individuals. Today, We have our guest, Mark Sigman, who's a regional vice president with the principal group. And I've known Mark for quite some time, and he does a lot of work with organizations and providing benefits for executives that are on the what's considered non-qualified arena. But I'm going to let Mark tell you a little bit about that. So, Mark, welcome in today.
Thank you, John.
We appreciate you coming on in. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background and kind of what you do with the principal.
Certainly. Well, as you mentioned, I'm a regional vice president, non-qualified plans with Principal Financial Group. I am based here in Atlanta, and I work with employers and financial advisors here in the Southeast in designing and implementing plans that help close the retirement gap that result from contribution limits and top-heavy rules in 401k plans. This means basically that highly compensated employees can't save the same pre-tax income as other employees and fall far short of reaching their retirement goal of being able to replace 70 to 80% of their income after retirement. Properly structured, non-qualified deferred compensation plans can help restore deferral opportunities for key employees, incentivize and retain key employees, and can have favorable impact on the company's financial statements.
That's not the first time he's answered that question.
No, you don't think so?
I mean, I thought that was just like smooth as glass. Should record that. Hey, we are recording. We're going to give you
recorded,
the file. And you can just, when somebody asks you that question, you just hit a button at the chamber.
Right. There you go. This is what I do.
That's right.
They might need to bring that together a little bit. I don't know if that qualifies for the elevator speech, but it was good.
Yeah.
So in your business, you run across executives and obviously being an executive yourself. One of the hard things that people have right now is, you know, retaining high quality staff. I mean, even though we've got unemployment and we've got a lot of problems, even here in Atlanta, you know, retaining good, high quality individuals that mean a lot to your business is difficult. So, how can owners and executives listening today get a better idea of the options that might be available to them that you found?
Certainly. Well, one of the key factors is that it is critical, and we see a lot of interest, particularly in the last few years, in companies being able to retain key talent. And one of the challenges is that ERISA, the body of law around employee benefits, requires that employers treat all employees the same way.
Right.
And that can make it difficult for an employer to structure a program to favor or to reward certain key employees. Now, there's an exemption in ERISA called the top hat exemption, which allows an employer to establish a retirement plan for what's defined as a select group of key employees. And top hat plans, which is the sort of broad term for non-qualified deferred compensation plans, can be an excellent way for a company to incentivize and retain certain key employees by designing a program specifically for a small group of key employees.
So if I'm a small business owner or an executive within a company that I have a little bit more control over what happens with benefits and kind of how that all works, and I've identified we've got the 401k in place and we're doing some things with individuals already that are on the qualified area that they're dealing with, and I want to look at this as something that I could do with just a few key people, what would be the first thing that I needed to start looking into to get things started?
Certainly. Well, you want to make sure that you're identifying who the specific key people are and their value to your organization. And think about ways to incentivize them to drive performance, to motivate their behavior, and opportunities for them to remain with you for a long period of time. A common term that we used to hear frequently is golden handcuffs, where the employer designs a program specifically to provide a golden handcuff to make it rewarding for key people to stay with an employer for a long period of time. And properly structured, non-qualified plans can do that. The employer can make discretionary bonus or profit-sharing contributions that would go into a non-qualified plan specifically for a small group of key employees. That money would go in pre-tax for that employee and could be subject to a vesting schedule. And the vesting schedule can be designed to encourage retention so that hopefully if that individual got an offer from somewhere else or for whatever reason wanted to leave, they would have to think twice about it because they'd potentially forfeit this pot of money that's accruing pre-tax on their behalf.
You know what? I'm feeling like the American kid that doesn't speak Chinese at the local dojo. Can we get a couple of terms straight here? Non-qualified. You keep mentioning that term. What exactly does that mean? What's non-qualified and qualified? Because it sounds like a bad thing, but maybe it's not really.
Well, that's good. I actually have a friend who always uses the term unqualified, and I could say I work on the unqualified plans. I'm an unqualified kind of guy. Qualified plans are retirement plans that are governed by ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act.
They're the police of the retirement plans.
Basically, mm-hmm. Yeah. And 401k plans, traditional defined benefit pension plans are examples of qualified plans. And qualified plans have specific rules that employers have to follow. They can't be discriminatory, so they have to basically cover everybody equally. And there are very stringent contribution limits and operational limits that the employers have to follow. Non-qualified plans, specifically non-qualified deferred compensation plans or top hat plans, operate under an exemption in ERISA called the top hat exemption. And these are plans that are designed as retirement plans that can discriminate in favor of a small group, select group of key employees.
Okay, so let me help you out with that. So we got a company, right? And you're the CEO, head poompah, right? And you set up a plan like a 401k. And myself and Mark and Alan all get to contribute on that. And we have to all play together and do the exact same thing. But you know that really Mark is your key guy. And if something happened to Mark, there'd be some big problems. Me, right. I'm pretty good. Alan totally doesn't matter. It just doesn't. If he's here, you could care less.
This is all making perfect sense.
There you go. Now it starts. Is that good? Yeah. So Alan's laughing at me over here. So you can go in and design a plan that says, look, Mark can get these big benefits or these options that I want to put money in for. John maybe gets a little bit of them. Alan gets nothing. So in the qualified world, you have to treat everybody the same. And in the non-qualified world, you can discriminate and say, I like you, but I don't like you.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. Very helpful. Now, so, I feel like you guys have let me in now.
Now you're in, you understand what us means and bow and ray and all that good stuff, right? Now you're into the dojo.
I'm here, man.
As long as you can ray, you're in the dojo. Okay. So now I'm a business owner. I've got an idea of what's going on. I want to get involved in something like this. Let me dig a little deeper into maybe some of the details on, like, for example, deferred compensation, mm-hmm. as an example. That's one of the plans that you can use for these executive-level individuals. What are some? If I'm an executive, I've heard of deferred comp. I probably have it. What are some of the things that I really need to be concerned about if I'm the executive and I'm going to consider doing a deferred compensation plan as an example?
Well, a lot of things. And there really are two aspects of this for the executive or for the individual. One of them is that non-qualified deferred compensation plans are designed to make up for lost deferral opportunities that highly compensated people can't take advantage of because of the contribution limits in ERISA. If you're under 50 years old, you can contribute a maximum of $16,500 a year to your employer's 401k plan. If you're age 50 or older, there's a catch-up provision that lets you put $22,000 a year in there. Now, from a practical standpoint, many 401k plans, particularly with smaller and medium-sized businesses, are further limited because 401k plans have to perform annual testing to make sure that the highly paid people in the company aren't deferring, on average, 2 percentage points more than the rank and file or everybody else in the company. And this means that for many highly compensated employees, they're not even allowed to defer $16,500 per year into the plan because the lower paid people in the organization aren't deferring enough to allow that to happen.
Right, so Alan's not contributing anything, so we got real problems.
That's right.
Because he's not participating in our plan, right?
That's right.
So all of a sudden, you as a highly compensated employee, you turn to Stone over here, who's, you know, head poompah, and say, hey, What about me? Can I get a little help over here? And that's when a deferred compensation might come into play.
Exactly. And John, you see this a lot with your clients in your practice. When somebody retires, they need to be able to replace 70 to 80% or more of their pre-retirement earnings just to maintain the same standard of living. And if you take a look at those contribution limits and use any kind of reasonable rate of return assumption and combine that with Social Security, you find that most people fall very far short of being able to replace that 70 to 80% of their retirement income relying on just their 401k plan and Social Security alone. And a non-qualified plan can help close the gap that develops there by giving those employees the ability to save money on a pre-tax basis over and above what they can put into their 401k plan. And there's another aspect to this, and that is that retirement for most people is probably going to last a lot longer than we've historically thought. For the past few decades, the U.S. Census Bureau reports that the fastest growing segment of the U.S. population is over the age of 85, and that's a trend that's expected to continue. We're living longer. So for many people, retirement might last 25 or 30 years, not necessarily the 10 to 15 years that historically we've assumed it would be. So not only is there a problem in being able to replace your pre-retirement income when you turn 65 or whatever age you retire, that income is probably going to have to last a lot longer than you might have thought when you started your career. And that's a problem that's probably only going to get worse as life expectancy tends to increase.
And if somebody's looking at these kinds of plans and obviously stock options or stock ownership or all these other benefits that you can utilize, how do they work with somebody, let's say like you, that would go in there and help them kind of identify which of those plans would make most sense? How do you approach that? What do you do that's different than maybe what they could do on their own?
Well, I think the key point of a non-qualified deferred compensation plan for the participant is the ability to save money on a pre-tax basis. That enables all of your contributions to go to work for you right away and not have the earnings be siphoned off in taxes each year. Now, I work with financial advisors. I don't market directly to employers. And the financial advisors I work with have various backgrounds, and some of them work with certain types of employers, and others work with other types of employers. But typically, particularly for medium and smaller companies, some duplicating the benefit packages that are available at the Fortune 500 or Fortune 1000 level can be pretty costly and pretty cumbersome. In addition, if it's a closely held company, they probably don't want to dilute equity by offering stock option plans and also have to deal with some of the cumbersome accounting rules that go along with that. And non-qualified deferred compensation plans can duplicate some of those benefits by offering that sort of stock option, stock ownership type experience for the participant and provide a significant level of benefits without diluting equity, without a lot of the cumbersome accounting rules and regulations that go along with issuing stock plans or incentive stock plans or phantom stock plans and so on.
So making it more simplistic for a business owner to be able to offer that but not go through all the headaches.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly.
And have you found that when you're working with these executives, that are they doing what they need to do in order to be on track for retirement in your experience?
Some are, but in my experience, unfortunately, most aren't. And I think part of the problem is, again, the higher your income, the more limited you're going to find that your 401k plan and Social Security are going to be able to provide the replacement ratio necessary to keep you in the same standard of living once you retire. It's interesting, though, people also have a lot of financial hurdles, as you know from your practice, that they have to get over before they can get serious about retirement. There's their children's education, paying mortgages, and so on and so forth. And we see frequently it's somewhere around late 40s, early 50s that a lot of people wake up and realize, you know what, retirement is closer than I thought it was just a few years ago. And they need to make up for lost time. And that's another area where these plans can really make a difference because there are no contribution limits. And that's, I think, the most powerful feature of these plans, both for an employer designing a plan and for the participant. If you have some other way to meet your expenses, you can defer up to your entire income into this plan on a pre-tax basis, have that money grow tax deferred, and report the income only when you start to take distributions in retirement. There also are no restrictions on the amount of discretionary employer contributions that can go into these plans. So these can be great vehicles for people who are, you know, 50 years old and all of a sudden realize they need to crank up their saving for retirement because that's closer than it was. And for the previous 20 years, they really weren't doing a lot.
Can an individual executive set up anything like this on their own, or does it have to really come through their company? Even if they're a, well, let's first talk about a W-2 person, just a good old-fashioned executive employee that wants to do something more. Do they have any options?
This type of program has to be set up through an employer. There's a section of the Internal Revenue Code that governs these plans, Section 409A, and Section 409A defines this as an employer-sponsored plan and defines the participant as a service provider to the sponsoring employer. So W-2 employees who are highly compensated key employees of an organization are typically the group that an employer would look at to make eligible for this type of plan. Now, some businesses have independent contractors who receive 1099 income from their dealings with that company.
Right.
And that might be outside salespeople or people who serve on the board of directors or consultants who do regular work for the company, but they're not employees. Those individuals can be included in a non-qualified plan as well. 1099 income is eligible for deferral into a non-qualified deferred compensation plan. Unfortunately, however, self-employed people can't set up a plan like this. The pre-tax savings for self-employed people are limited to IRAs and a few other individual arrangements like that, which have obviously very low contribution limits.
What if they've created an S-corp or a C-corp and they're not just sole proprietors, they have a company?
If they have a company, they may be a candidate for this plan and they may not be. And what I mean by that is this. The assets of a non-qualified plan are required to be held by the sponsoring employer. So if you have an S-corporation or some kind of pass-through entity that you formed, you can set up a non-qualified deferred compensation plan for your key people, and it will work well. But if you yourself, as the shareholder in the S-corporation or the LLC member, want to participate, you'll find that it won't result in any pre-tax savings for you, because the assets of the plan remain assets of the company, so they would just be included on your K-1 income at the end of the year.
Right.
So if you're a business owner, you really need to be organized as a C-corporation in order for this to be a feasible strategy for you personally. But it works well for your non-owner, highly compensated employees, regardless of the type of entity.
Okay. And in terms of the next kind of generation down from what we tend to see as executives in that kind of baby boomer generation, the 45, 55 to 60 kind of group and beyond, what about prior to that? What about the Generation Xers and the other guys that are just kind of maybe getting into that highly compensated area and starting to worry about these kinds of things? Does a plan like this work for them too?
Well, it does. It does. And in fact, with younger, you know, the sort of younger end of the spectrum, people who have school-age children, we see a lot of interest in these plans because distributions from non-qualified deferred compensation plans aren't subject to the 10% early withdrawal excise tax penalty that apply to qualified plans. For example, if you're under age 59 and a half and you receive a distribution from your 401k plan or an IRA, you pay ordinary income tax plus a 10% penalty. There is no 10% penalty on money coming out of a non-qualified plan, and you can schedule in-service distributions to be paid to you while you're still working. And we see a lot of interest in people with school-age children enrolling in a non-qualified deferred compensation plan, making deferrals with the expectation that distributions will be paid to them during the years their kids would be going to school. It's a way to save money on a pre-tax basis for the children's education and overcome that hurdle first, which typically is going to come before retirement. And then once the kids are in college or through college, then they can redirect those deferrals and those savings going forward to retirement.
Okay. And in the business that you're in and the kind of things that you're doing, what have you seen to be helpful tips for people that are working in this business environment now? What are you doing right now to make your business successful?
Well, I think everybody is focused on efficiency. If anything we've seen in the last couple of years is that you can't take anything for granted, and it's important to make sure that you're, number one, utilizing your time effectively and making sure that all of your activities are contributing to the ultimate goal of your business. In terms of participants in retirement plans and employee benefit plans, I think it's very important to prioritize your financial objectives. And John, I know you work with this with your clients all the time. People have vague ideas of what's important in their life, and they have vague ideas of what their assets are and what their liabilities are. But a lot of times, they really have a hard time putting that together and determining what are their long-term savings objectives. Is it retirement? Is it their children's education? Do they want to buy a business? Do they want to take a trip around the world? Do they want to retire early? Do they have special needs for family members? And I think it's important to take all of this into consideration when you're developing some type of strategy for saving for the future. And there are a lot of competing priorities. And, you know, retirement is certainly a big one, and one that, in my experience, a lot of people really aren't that well prepared for. But there are other competing objectives as well. And I think it's important to prioritize those and also put them in order.
So have you done that yourself?
Well, I'm happy to say that I have, because I am one of your clients as well. And I deeply appreciated the services you provided to me and my family.
So you're in line with those areas. And do you find that focus helps you on a daily basis or weekly, or how does that?
I think it does. I think it does. I've had a newfound appreciation every time I get paid, frankly, for thinking of, you know, how this money is going to be allocated and what it's going to be used for, and thinking in the short term, the intermediate term, and the long term.
Well, good. Good. Stone, you got anything for our guest here today?
Well, I am a little curious about one thing. I'm always fascinated by what is it that people find the most rewarding about their work, that they enjoy the most, and what they find a little bit challenging, if not even frustrating. So I'd love to ask that question of you. What do you really like about your work, really find the most rewarding, and what do you find a little bit challenging, if not even maybe a little frustrating from time to time?
Great question. What I find most rewarding about my work is really the opportunity to meet so many different types of people in so many different businesses and different situations. I find it exhilarating. No two clients are alike. No two financial advisors are alike. And I really enjoy, particularly when we implement a new plan, and I'll go on site with the financial advisor and we'll roll it out to the participants, to these executives, to these highly compensated people. And I'm energized by the feedback and the conversation and, you know, the realization that this is helping them achieve their financial goals, seeing that the employer is satisfied, that they're rolling something out that the employees really appreciate. I think I like that the most, I have to say. As far as challenging is concerned, there is a lot of misinformation out there. Actually, another one of John's associates used a term that I love. It's called financial pornography. I remember going to a presentation.
He's not the source. He's just the source.
He's not
the
source at all. Actually, John invited a speaker. I believe he was a gentleman from Canada to make a presentation to a group of his clients, and I was there. And he made the point that there's a lot of financial pornography out there. There's a lot of misinformation that's printed in the media, and that somehow takes hold, and there are a lot of misconceptions people have about financial services, about taxes, about financial planning. And a lot of people, I think, in my opinion, make very bad decisions based on this misinformation. And I find that to be a challenge, because I'm constantly educating and re-educating, you know, both financial advisors and clients who are the sponsoring employers and the participants. And sometimes readdressing those and making sure that we clear up misconceptions. And that's I think, the most challenging.
Good stuff. Well, each week, one of the things that we ask our guests is to leave our audience with a pearl of wisdom, something that they might mention or say that's helped them be successful in their own right that might be able to help other people. What might you give our audience as our pearl of wisdom for the week?
Well, I would say that it's important to take a step back, and I'm not always the best. I don't always follow my own advice, but I try to do this. Important to take a step back and take a look at the very big picture. What is most important in your life? You know, we all get caught up in our business and our finances and what we have going on in our busy schedules. But I think it's important to take a step back and take a look at what is most important. Is it our family, our health, our community? And why are we doing what we do every day? And it's, you know, not just to go to work every day, or not just to earn a paycheck, although those things are important. But I think it's important to take a step back and take a look at the bigger picture and be grateful for what we have. And I think that makes everything a little bit easier and kind of helps you prioritize how you go about your day and your week.
Good. Sage advice. Well, that's great stuff. you got anything else, Stone, for our audience before we sign off?
This has got to be the most information-packed interview I have ever participated in. This guy knows some stuff. We got to have him back.
Yeah.
We got to make sure our listeners know how to get in touch with him, I think, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Mark, if you've got any contact information, if someone has a question for you, is there any way they can get in contact with you?
Absolutely. My toll-free office number is 866-804-2111, option 2, option 1.
All right. Good stuff. Well, until next week, this is John Baker and Stone Payton signing off. Stay warm, and as Mark suggested, enjoy the time you have with your family and friends over the holidays.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.